Hey everybody, this is Sam. This week's Ask an Atheist is for podcast only, as we are preempted in the Seattle market, etc., etc. We were originally going to air an interview with Rebecca Witzman, local and one of the people behind the Foundation Beyond Belief Humanist Disaster Recovery Teams, which will be launching next month, but she kind of exploded and is presently having her appendix removed, so she's under the weather. If you're on Facebook, maybe send her some, you know, hey, get better stuff. But it's a pretty good show, so here we go. Hello again! Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Once again, we're recording in a strange room at Surge Tacoma.
Well, it's a known room to us. It's known to us.
It's a strange room to do radio in for me. I don't know about you.
Coming to you from Carlsbad Caverns.
Dude, that would be great. What if we were to do a show like in a cave with absolutely no light at all?
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Probably screw with my head. Listen, I ask an atheist. I said that already. With me today is Rebecca. Hi.
I'm doing well. Hello, Sam.
Hi, and Dan, how are you?
Fully yogurt.
Like, honestly, or is that a thing?
Yeah, like, seriously.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's full of yogurt. He is not fully yogurt. He is fully Dan.
I am fully yogurt.
Speaking of being fully full of yogurty-type substances, a Turkish man is facing 2 years in prison for posting a meme comparing the Turkish president to the character of Gollum. Gollum sounds like he's full of yogurt. I don't know why.
Is that where the yogurt comes into play here?
I think so. That's what I was thinking.
That's what he's coughing up all the time.
Like Gollum.
Yeah.
Gollum.
Bilyin Çiftçi was indicted after an anonymous complaint for posting pictures of the president next to the Lord of the Rings character. Insulting a public figure is forbidden under Turkish law. The judge has asked for the opinions of numerous experts in psychology, academics, and film to help him decide if the comparison was an insult. Director Peter Jackson released a statement saying that the comparison isn't an insult because the images were used were of Smeagol, who is the benign side of Gollum's personality.
Oh, man.
Well, that makes it better.
Yeah, Peter Jackson trying to go to bat for this guy, being like, don't throw him in jail. Please, please just don't throw him in jail for a movie I made. Come on.
Isn't that precious?
Oh, he didn't. Except he did. So have you guys seen the photos here?
No, I haven't.
It's a side-by-side comparison of a few expressions and poses that Gollum, the character, makes. I'm going to go straight out there and say that it's Gollum, right? Maybe personality-wise, President Erdogan might be more, likened to Smeagol. But here's the thing. Smeagol was not a good thing to be likened to. He became completely consumed by greed until he wasted away into, like, this demonic little elf thing. So, I'm not sure.
Yeah, really. He kind of starts his story off by killing his best friend over the ring. I mean, that's at the peak of Smeagol's goodness, he was still able to be corrupted in seconds to murder his best friend.
Yeah. The thing here, though, is you get someone, regardless of whether Smeagol is the benign side of someone's character or not, or whether you have Gollum, the little hideous, you know, demonic creature that lives in a cave. Hey, maybe we should call up Smeagol and see if we can broadcast from the Smeagol Lord of the Rings cave.
The law is pretty stupid. The law is stupid.
It's okay. Basically, it's secular blasphemy at this point by saying, you know, okay, you can't blaspheme any of the leaders. You can't insult, you know, leaders of a religion. Well, how about you can't insult the leaders of the state?
Right. Well, it says a public figure, right? So what counts as a public figure in Turkey? Who
in
is
this
a public
case,
figure?
It always means politician.
Is Matt Damon still a public figure in Turkey? Yeah. He's a public figure here.
They always mean politicians. Don't insult politicians. I'm a public figure. I have the ability to make laws. Therefore, I can decide that you go to jail if you insult me and say that I have a pot belly.
Well, here's the other thing is that it's not just I can put you in jail for insulting me. Yes. Anything else that you would like to reveal to the listener audience, Sam? But here's
always got to get that dig in. I'm not allowed to play a character here. Literally, this has become a stupid joke. Every time I play a character, you go, oh, Sam, stop talking about yourself. Really? Are you four?
I'm four. It is true. I am 4 years old.
Okay.
Four is also the number of Sam's superfluous nipples.
Yeah, that's true.
Goodness.
The ones he knows about.
I'm going to let that hang for a minute, I guess.
You were saying?
I was saying before Yes. I was saying that you have insulting a religious figure is forbidden, you know, by the law and everything. But here's the thing. This is being used in the same way that a lot of blasphemy laws around the world are used as well. This Bilyin Shifchi is being indicted because of an anonymous complaint. When you have laws that are, you know, intermittently enforced that seem to be for violations of thoughts and humor and expression and art and things like that, as sophomoric as it may be, you have the ability for anyone with a particular vendetta or a grudge to say, hey, I know that you're guilty of a crime that no one really has ever tried for, except for when I file this anonymous complaint. I mean, how many memes comparing, you know, various people to other various people or media figures are there floating around the Turkish social media, you know, sites and things like that? Probably a lot. Does everybody get a complaint filed against them? Probably not. What caused someone to have a complaint filed against them? Does the person who filed this anonymous complaint really feel that patriotically drawn to President Erdogan that they think that it's a threat to their country that someone's comparing him to a CG film character?
Actually, probably, and that's the creepiest part of this.
Oh, dear.
But isn't that what jingoism is?
I guess so.
It's yet another secular dogma. If you're not particularly, well, in the case of Turkey, it may be tied to religion, but even in the U.S., you may not have a religious dogma, but there's definitely a dogmatic approach to the way the United States works.
Certainly. Now, we have seen people make fun of President Obama in really sort of egregious, offensive ways. Are we going to try them for, 2 to 4 year jail sentences? No. Are we going to socially shame them to say that if you're having a picture with the president eating watermelon on a porch with exaggerated lips and ears, that shouldn't be socially shamed?
Was it necessary to describe it?
I'm sorry. It's in terms of perhaps not completely necessary to describe it, but okay. I want to really look at what does it mean to have an offensive caricature of a world leader? Is that something that's forbidden by our state code? No. Is it something that I can anonymously complain about? I'll go on the record and not anonymously complain about it. But I think that the person who spreads that art or is the source of that art should be tried and jailed? No, I do not.
That opens up an interesting debate, because when does it border on a hate crime?
Well, if it's a hate crime, it's looking at a crime that's been committed that has a motivation of bigotry. So if there was a crime that was committed based on that...
I guess incitement to hate crime might be the question.
Incitement to hate crime, sure.
Because we all like to talk about how there's free speech, which everybody seems to think that it's free speech, therefore means free of social consequence, which it doesn't. Huh. But, there are incitement rules. If you were, there's the fire in the crowded theater thing, which... is so morally cut and dried, it creates a standard that's hard to discuss. But, at what point, while we're talking about this, at what point does making fun, making fun of a leader be incitement to some sort of violence towards that leader? That's been known to happen.
In terms of making fun, I'm not quite sure. In terms of making things that are suggestive of an alternate reality.
Sure, sure.
Which we do see. I mean, in the case of the intentionally misleading Planned Parenthood videos, that was certainly not making fun. And it certainly was false. Was someone, able to make videos falsely depicting Planned Parenthood of doing illegal things? Yeah, they can do that out of free speech unless they're looking at libel and slander, which itself is a very hard bar to clear.
Yeah.
There are people making the case that those who made those Planned Parenthood videos, started the ball rolling on violent actions.
And the part of the reason I'm bringing this up is, what is Carly Fiorina's culpability in this? Carly Fiorina being the one of the Republican candidates for president who was talking about baby parts and Planned Parenthood. Holy cats, don't want to recapitulate that. I'm not saying I have the answer. I'm actually explicitly saying I don't have the answer. And if it really is nothing, I don't know. That seems like a poor implementation of this particular dogma, I guess. This seems like there should be some responsibility involved for telling false-to-fact things that cause others to go kill people. I don't know. Sometimes I think there should be. Sometimes I think there don't. I go back and forth.
I think that it's a tough line to... explore, and that probably humans cross it a lot more than
they realize.
Like. Yeah.
I think this is probably one of those things that falls under the sort of spectrum observation that one of the things I've learned in pursuing science is that really there are very few things that are polar. There are very few things where there's a clear line.
Oh yeah.
So I would suspect that there is a gradient of things from absolutely perfect freedom of speech. Yeah, absolutely anybody could say that, to, you know, inciting violence or you know, causing a riot in a movie theater by shouting fire. There's not going to be a clear line between those two things. There's going to be a sliding scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I think trying to pursue a charge based on any of that is going to be exceedingly difficult.
Under the context we live now, but absolutely. And absolutely. I think that's superior to, I think not enough might be superior to too much. I'd rather default to permissive than restrictive as
when
a general
rule.
When
it comes to speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we end up with people risking jail sentences.
Otherwise, people going to jail because they draw pictures of Gollum next to a world leader. Yeah, I mean, that's the situation that we live under. People aren't particularly good at nuance. We live in a world of dynamics and spectra, and we want binary. And it's kind of ridiculous. But that's where we are. Hey!
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 Well, I'm just going to go out on a limb and suggest that the president of Turkey looks like Shelob the Spider more than Gollum.
But is it the benign aspect of Shelob the Spider, the one that was just trying to be protective of her domain, or is that the evil, nefarious aspect
of
Shelob?
It is the spinneret end.
And I'm going to say Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington, kind of a knob sometimes.
All right.
Not for any particular reason, I just want to see if I get in trouble.
Just want to see.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of stupid posturing, the U.S. Senate passed a bill to overturn the Affordable Care Act and defund Planned Parenthood. The measure, which was passed by 52-47, will be sent to the House, where it's also expected to pass. President Obama will almost certainly veto the bill when it arrives on his desk. Congress has voted on numerous bills to end the ACA, but this is the first one likely to pass both houses. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said the president can defend a status quo that's failed the middle class by vetoing the bill, or he can work toward a new beginning and better care by signing it.
Better care?
You know what? The discussion of whether or not the Affordable Care Act has been successful is probably better suited for a different show. Because that's not really what we're about here on Ask an Atheist. I've got opinions if you want to hear them. Mm-hmm. But like I said, but the ending the Affordable Care Act and then tying that to funding for Planned Parenthood, that's definitely something we should talk about. Also, the ridiculous political posturing is something that we should definitely talk about. This is no longer, you know what really gets my goat sometimes? If I just talk about American politics for a minute.
Goat away.
When I was a kid and I was hanging out at my girlfriend's college in Peoria, we would watch this TV show. It was called Scola, and it was basically news of other countries where, you know, the students were from. And so we were watching the news of the Japanese Diet. And they were having some sort of fight over something, I don't know, some sort of political argument. And then some guy got up, walked up to whatever passes for the speaker in this particular parliamentary circumstance, and just punched him in the face, just straight up decked him.
Can you imagine? Well, the senator from Iowa, I may defer.
So, like, they actually, you know, when somebody gets the case of the feels in Japan and they're in the legislature, pay attention because you're about to get hit. Where in the United States, as I was saying, you know, it's, oh, my respected colleague from Washington, which is to say that chucklehead from Seattle. If I had to pick... if I had to pick between realistic fighting and non-realistic and the sort of ridiculous glad-handing in the Senate, I would definitely go for the fighting. That said, this is just straight out. This isn't fighting. This isn't glad-handing. This is straight out professional wrestling. You know, this is Mitch McConnell's, I'm coming after you, Hulk Obama. I'm going after your Affordable Care Act. I'm going to go after Planned Parenthood. Did I say that? Oh, yeah, I think I said it. You know, this is just posturing. This leads nowhere. This is nothing, and they know it, and they're milking it for all it's worth, and they're calling this leadership. And they're gonna drag religion into this when this fails. Because that's the next step. It's always the next step.
Well, you don't think that step's already been taken with the Planned Parenthood defunding?
Not on this round.
Hmm.
That's coming.
I would just like to remind the Americans listening that these are your tax dollars at work that we have. We income inequality, we have unemployment, we have poverty, we have a failing education system, we've got wars going on and all kinds of other problems, veterans who can't get their medical issues treated that were caused by the wars going on. But what your politicians are choosing to argue about for the 50,000th time is whether or not to defund Planned Parenthood or stop the ACA. This is what they're using their 60 actual work days a year to not vote on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And I just want to say this. I will pay up to $5 for the first one received of a photorealistic picture of Mitch McConnell with 36 inch pythons.
What are you gonna do, Obama, when these pythons come for you?
Yeah.
So do you think that someone uninitiated in American wrestling feels the same way as someone uninitiated in American politics? They just look at it and kind of cock their head to the side and scratch their ear?
There are uninitiated in professional wrestling than there are people uninitiated in American politics.
Yeah, at least in the WWE, you can tell who the good guys are.
Yeah.
Can you not tell me?
At least professional wrestling is fun.
Also,
and isn't
depressing
and sometimes gets things done.
Mm. And if they get hurt, do they get their injuries treated immediately?
That's a different story.
It's good man.
Yeah, okay. If Mike were here, this is what we would be talking about for the next hour, and with good reason, because it's kind of screwed up.
Indeed.
Wrestling?
Wrestling? The wrestling industry is, it's totally nuts. I mean, unless you get outside of, like, the really famous stuff and you get, like, some New Japan in Japan, strangely enough, or what do they call that?
Greco-Roman?
No, I'm talking about professional wrestling. Basically non-standard, or what do you call it?
The MMA?
No!
WCW?
WCW doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, did they get bought by the WWE?
They did, like 10 years ago.
That's insane.
Yeah,
you know what? I stopped following wrestling about the same time that that Max Moon had his first and final match.
Okay. I, believe it or not, don't really follow wrestling, but I think it's an interesting thing, and I think it gets a bad rap among people who I should otherwise know better.
Mm.
It's like, it's not really a sport. No, but have you met wrestlers and have you seen how they train?
Right. It's performance art.
Yeah.
It takes a tremendous amount of strength and gymnastic ability.
I was lucky enough to get to train with people who were trying to make careers in professional wrestling. And my only commentary on it is, ow, I was sore the next day. It's like, that was a lot of work. Not the way you think. But, you know what? Let's leave that there. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, more of this, I guess.
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide $1 bajillion in your locker.
Wow, $1 bajillion?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show on the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month, we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And as we seem to do occasionally, we were talking about professional wrestling when we went in the break. But I can only take that sort of posturing for a little while. Actually, that's not true. Let's keep with the posturing. Pope Francis is being given credit for healing a baby during his visit to Philadelphia. The one-year-old, who was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor when she was 1 month old, had numerous rounds of chemotherapy and surgeries until the tumor was basically gone. The parents of the child credit a chance meeting with the Pope Pope Francis for the healing. The Pope kissed the baby during a parade held when he visited the U.S. weeks earlier. One family member called it the miracle on Market Street.
It's definitely a kiss from the pontiff. Definitely not modern medicine for the past year and a half.
Yeah, not all the chemotherapy. No,
just some dude in a white hat was like, "And me kiss your baby, boom, tumor's gone." Bada bing, bada boom.
Oh, that got
he's Argentinian. He's not Italian. Well, I mean, he is Italian Argentinian, but yes.
He lives in the Vatican, which is in Italy.
Yes.
Sort of. in and of.
Yeah, almost entirely within Rome.
Yeah.
Mm. That's why it's the church in Rome.
So our writer,
not the church in Hoboken.
Church in Hoboken. Yes. St. Peter's Basilica of Hoboken. our writer Dave actually had a little hypothesis about this. He wants to know that when the Pope is, as he believes, inevitably canonized, this will be named as one of his miracles. I'm not exactly up on all of my Catholic doctrine, but doesn't the Pope have to be dead in order to perform a miracle? Has to be an intercessory?
It's just a matter of time.
You have to be, in order to be canonized, you have to have a picture in the monster manual. No. you have to have been known for committing miracles, or for miracles happening around you during your lifetime. Something miraculous has to be involved with your life. And then when John Paul died, they went around looking for things that he had done, which was miraculous. And because, that particular pope actually used his bully pulpit to actually go do like interesting
political things
rather than just, hey, I'm Catholic, which is the nicest thing I think I'll ever say about a pope. But he was kind of bereft of the weirdo mumbo jumbo that religion is normally known for. So they had to, I don't know if you saw the miracle that they finally used to start his canonization process, but it was kind of an oblique miracle at best. But all of your miracles in the 21st century, now that we have things like tape recorders and video cameras and stuff like that, but, and you're the Pope, so there's a camera on you 24/7. Mm. All, you know, The miracles have been gone from calling forth the Lord to fix this sidewalk to there were four zingers in this package of hostess zingers when it only looked like there were three. That's basically where we are now.
Yeah. I don't know if I think there's some process that requires one to pray to the deceased pope as an intercessory, you know, in once they're deceased, in order to get some miracle done.
I think that's round
done.
Two.
That's round
like,
two?
Round one is, that was a pretty cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
Round two is, he has to officially be a cool guy. And then round three is, somebody has to pray to him and, like, get extra tokens.
Yeah. This guy, he's also making some political moves, or seeming political moves. I think that's actually the definition of political moves, when you have things that you say that people like, and not things that you do that right. people like. So recently, this Pope in particular came out and said, you know what? I think teachers deserve a pay raise. Okay, weird thing. Would like if one of our politicians actually said that.
Given that you're the owner of one of the largest non-state educational institutions in the United States, I think you really just got to sign one piece of paper and that's done.
Yeah, how are the Jesuits being compensated, really, at all of these parochial schools? You could go somewhere with that. But at the same time, no change on the stance of condom usage in Africa. I mean, huge public health initiative that really could change lives and change the outcome of of being able to, one, control fertility, two, control the spread of HIV/AIDS. Nope, reaffirmed the church's stance on that.
Yeah, this guy just has better PR. And I think that, you know, for a long time we had to fight that fight on the show, that this guy is actually still kind of jerky but has better PR. I think those days are over. I think people are starting to get the message on that one.
I hope so. As I've said many times, same crap, different bag.
Yeah. The guy, the one they turned into a pope. The pope they turned into a... I'm sorry, this is worse than D&D. I can at least keep D&D straight.
The evolution of Charmander to Charizard.
Yeah, something like that.
Pope Charizard the second, my favorite.
Who are we talking about
Pope
now?
John Paul. He actually, unlike the last two guys, actually did some interesting political stuff, which I was in favor of.
Oh, all of Vatican II, which completely revolutionized the involvement of parishioners.
Yeah, he did a lot of really cool stuff politically and actually helped the world in a couple of ways, as long as you're willing to not look at Africa, which, as it turns out, most people are. So there you have it. Anyway, the Church of England has spoken out in disappointment over a refusal to show a church-produced ad featuring the Lord's Prayer before and the upcoming Star Wars film. Digital Cinema Media, which handles advertising for the major theater companies in Britain, rejected the ad, citing a policy of not accepting religious or political advertising in theaters. The church called the decision silly and feared its implications for free speech.
Well, you got a lot of bite there with your silly criticism. There you go. That's just silly. Oh, I'm scared, Church of England. Oh, dear.
Well, that's a pretty measured response. I mean, they got to be measured, because the minute they say anything weird, they're basically kicked out of the country. And they have to move the Archbishop of Canterbury to the moon or something.
Or to Hoboken.
I think putting the Lord's Prayer before Star Wars would be incredibly silly, because as everyone knows, hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side.
I was about to say, what are the ideological differences between Catholicism and the Force?
The Force isn't forced on you.
Yes, it is. Did you see the prequels? They take your children.
Oh, yeah, they were throwing people around all over the place.
You never see them again.
Oh, good point, good point.
And they get dogma shoved down their throat by a guy who speaks broken positional syntax English. I mean, the difference between the Force Temple and Jonestown is that the Kool-Aid tastes better. Especially if you see the third movie.
Right. And lightsabers are way, way more fun than beads.
Yeah.
Well, Church of England, does Church of England use rosaries? I'm not sure about that one.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask if they did lightsabers.
I did specifically ask about the Catholic Church, because I was trying to link it to the former story, but you're right, this is the Church of England. So I guess we should be talking about tea.
And
hanging out with the vicar.
Yeah, well, you know, and weddings and fancy buildings. Weddings and fancy buildings, right? Really nice old churches, but that's really sounds all good. About their use, you know, really what they're used for. You know, Church of England right now is kind of a little bit in crisis, from my understanding, because they are losing parishioners. I mean, you have the Humanist Society of England and people in record numbers choosing to live largely secular lives.
Well, the Church of England is facing now what I think is going to be the direction of a lot of religions if the statistics hold up for the next 50 years, which is a fight for relevance.
So what's more relevant than saying, hey, pray before your movie? that's really one that I
if I were to pick a movie that I had to have a religious ad in front of, it would be a Star Wars movie.
Because
it's one religion followed by another. Isn't Jediism a religion in the UK?
Actually, it definitely is.
It's like the third most popular or something.
Yeah. So I think this, you know, honestly, I think this totally... If there were going to be an exception to Bob's ad theater thingy, yes?
You know what? I've changed my mind. I'm for it. Put the Lord's Prayer in front of Star Wars, but do the stars in the background and the music and the yellow letters and the scroll. Oh, my God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Aboard the Death Star, in all caps.
And then you gotta have like the fading out and then laser blast.
Yeah, totally. Jesus on his dinosaur ninja.
Goodness, I'm. You know what? I think I might be on board with this.
Yeah, right? Like literally, if you're going to do like a ridiculous religious commercial, and you had to do, and you had to pick one movie, you had to do it before Star Wars would be the choice.
If that's not already been made, I challenge everyone to make one, and let's have a vote to see which is the best Lord's Prayer opening commercial.
And to everyone who thinks this is a terrible idea, I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Out.
This is his fourth Star Wars pun that you've. That he's gotten by you, Sam.
What, you think I'm not paying attention?
Well, yeah. Clearly you just deemed it silly.
Yeah, eventually he's going to figure out what kind of cave he's in, and
and then he's going to tear my arms off.
Pretty much. Anyway. That's the same, no, different movie. You were referencing the first one, I was referencing the second one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh. No, the one with the sock puppet. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ah! That's the best alien in all the movies, by the way. Because it looks exactly like the wall snakes in Robot Holocaust.
Yes.
Ah, no!
Wait, which one? Which
the
space slug from the asteroid?
Yeah.
Grabs. Yeah. Yeah. That definitely looks like a sock puppet.
Hello,
Sam. Hello, apparently, hello, voices sock puppets. Yeah. From. Let's watch Star Wars on mute, and we can.
And I do all the voices.
No, I'll start singing the Lord's Prayer. You know, Ave Maria thrown in there too.
We should get some Pink Floyd and just watch Star Wars until something lines
up. Okay, to be serious for like 8 seconds,
okay.
I think the only reason that it's okay to not play this ad is because of the pre-existing thing to say, you know, we don't accept religious or political advertising in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Were it not for that pre-existing rule, yeah, it would be kind of silly. Why can't, you know, I think you're stupid, but I think you're allowed to advertise.
Right, yeah.
And that's about the only thing I got to say about this. But I
makes sense.
Yeah. But I get the idea of I'm there to see a movie. I'm not there to be proselytized to. But then again, if you're not there to be proselytized to, why are you at a Star Wars movie?
Yes, precisely.
Especially if you're there like opening week.
Yeah, geez.
Everyone comes in costume.
Blasphemer!
Yes.
Have you accepted Captain Kirk as your Lord and Savior?
Whoa.
That's totally, that's going to happen. But here. There's going to be,
that's
totally
competing religions,
Star
right?
Star Trek people with... Yeah. The science of Star Trek and flowers in the lobby, asking for $20 and then books and then
just trying.
It's like
to
Mormons
convert.
Hanging out in front of the Buddhist temple, like, oh no, let me change your mind.
Right? Yeah, pretty much.
I love this. Someone should make a movie about this.
Can we?
Yes.
Well, I don't have any cameras anymore. Actually,
we'll call it Trek Wars. The final attack of the.
A Wisconsin elementary school has canceled a reading of a book about trans people after being threatened with a lawsuit. Mount Horeb Primary Center was going to hold a reading of the book I Am Jazz by trans activist Jazz Jennings to educate the kids after a student who came out as transgender. The school's principal sent a letter explaining the situation to parents. A group of concerned parents contacted Liberty Council, a conservative legal group, who sent a letter threatening to sue the schools for violating parental rights. The district canceled the reading, saying they were trying to meet the needs of all students and families. Update, a public reading of the book at a local library was attended by almost 600 people in support of the trans student. Well, that's a really nice topper to all of this. But I'm going to get mad. I don't often do this publicly, but I'm going to get mad at my staff writer here. Because
uh-oh.
He says concerned parents. I think concerned was really the wrong word. I think stupid might have been a better word.
Stupid parents?
Yeah.
Okay.
And where was that? Where was that?
The Liberty Council?
Liberty Council, a conservative legal group, isn't... I mean, aren't they on the SPLC list of hate groups?
Yeah, they're a hate group.
Yeah.
So...
Dave! I'm going to find a carpet and call you on it!
Should we do a little rewriting of this? A Wisconsin elementary school canceled a reading about a book in support of one of their kids because people hated kids.
Yeah, pretty much. By the way, I'm totally joking. Dave does a fantastic job. Okay. Anyway, I was ready to get all cheesed off at this in the way I'm known for doing, and then there's that little thing at the end about 600 people showing up at the library. Sometimes, you know. Here's the weird thing is like when I went down to Clark County or here in Pierce County and I say, I'd prefer you not have In God We Trust, in this room, and then people put it up like in a church, and they all get together at a church and see, we're stronger than you because we're supported. I don't care if you support each other. I'm actually okay with that. Keep doing that. Get down with your bad self, as long as it's at a church, just not in this room. This room is for everybody. Do this at a room that's for you guys. That's cool. Get together, be a community. This is different because it was basically a bunch of our concern. We're going to ostracize this one kid who you know, it is not like our kid. And as a result, the community says, yeah, that's a bad idea. We're going to go to the library and support this kid. It's one thing where we're talking about a stupid logo on a wall. It's another thing where we're talking about an actual human being. I think the stakes are a little different. And it's weird how often this happens, where people are showing me that they strongly support this particular phrase, and they all, you know, dance around the campfire in support of a phrase completely ignore actual humans. I love that.
So in this case, are they saying, you know, yes, we're successful because we got this out of our public schools?
Do I know where
schools.
I was going with this? Not a chance.
We got this removed from our public schools, and it bounced to the public library. I mean, I'm happy that we found a neutral forum for this particular educational lesson and educational outreach to be done. Would I have liked for it to be done in schools, a place of education for children? I mean, despite my position as an educator, I'm inclined to agree that, yes, I would have preferred it there, especially since when you have things that are generally part of the curriculum of sexuality and sexual health education, most states have the option for parents to opt their children out of it. Was it not enough for these, quote, concerned parents or stupid parents to opt their kid out of it? No, it wasn't enough. They just had to go and ruin it for everyone else. They had to say, you know what? No, we're not going to allow you to read a book. Anytime we have something that where people are saying, no, we don't want you reading a book and discussing it, it automatically smacks to me of, oh, this is in need of further investigation and a much, much closer look.
I kind of like that it moved from one public forum to another public forum, and they're both education-based, and the school is for education of kids. The library is for education of everybody. And I think these quote unquote bigoted, awful parents, with their concerns and contacting this hate group, they actually forced a lateral move that could be considered a more beneficial move for the community because, well, you know what? It got a bunch of attention and even more people showed up. It's like, well,
I think that's a good point.
You guys kind of screwed up.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll tackle some more news.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington. You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
48 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is
0.
For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEXradio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. And we're just going to throw random crap at the table until you notice, I think. Anyway, continuing the fun news. A Georgia sheriff who posted a provocative sign in front of his office is now selling t-shirts with a message. The shirts are black with the Harris County logo on the front and the full text of the sign on the back. A link has been added to the official Harris County website, leading to a store with the shirts. The store is a simple page that currently has a message saying it cannot take new orders due to the overwhelming support and directing visitors to come back in a few days. The American Humanist Association has sent a letter to the county calling the sign and the shirts unconstitutional.
Oh, this sign, it's the sign that keeps on giving.
All right, Ace of Base, what does the sign say?
Yeah, the sign, do you want to read it for us, Dan?
Sure, yeah. Welcome to Harris County, Georgia! ! Warning! Harris County is politically incorrect. We say, Merry Christmas, God bless America, and in God we trust. We salute our troops and our flag. If this offends you, leave!
So does this constitute secession from the United States? Because that didn't work out so well for the people of Georgia last time they tried that.
No, you know, I believe the last time they eventually caved and surrendered.
Yeah. Something about that.
You know, I mean, last week it was just the sign. Now he's gotten so much, quote, support and enthusiasm that he has to put it on t-shirts.
If I wanted to make a big deal about how people were supporting me via t-shirts, I would do probably what this guy did, and I would make four of them.
Four of them and saying, oh my goodness, we've had so much interest. They're all sold out.
I'm getting
Yeah.
Okay.
What does this sign actually say, though? What is this sign saying? I mean, the level of stupidity and exclusivity in this sign.
No, the sign is saying black people leave. I mean, that's what it's saying to me.
Is it, and saying atheists leave? Is saying Hindu people leave?
No, this is, I'm not allowed to be a racist publicly, so I'm going to say I'm politically incorrect as a watchword for my particular group of people who know what that means. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a question for military personnel, and I'm sure we have a few listeners that are, at least.
Actually, we got an email from one who's listening right now.
Oh, great. Yeah. God bless America, and in God we trust. We salute our troops and our flag. Is it appropriate for civilians to salute military personnel?
I'm under the impression that lower-ranking officers salute higher-ranking officers.
Right.
But that for a person, I think that maybe this is a typo and he meant to say we support our troops.
Right.
Or maybe he just actually doesn't support our troops.
Well, does he mean salute in the official sense? Or does he mean we salute our troops in the way that that Circus of the Stars salutes wildlife?
Right.
I don't know.
Also, this guy's a sheriff, and I think a disturbing trend in recent American politics, or maybe not so recent, is police officers considering themselves to be non-civilians.
As in militarized.
Right.
So. Well, when you work with the military and you're given a huge pile of military stuff and you're told you're going to war, I see it as a major problem, but I don't quite blame the people who are like, oh, I seem to be in a war.
Right.
When they're given rocket launchers and tanks.
Right. The empirical evidence around them suggests to them that they're in a war with armor and heavy weapons and armored vehicles.
So Dan, what does this sign actually say to you? You had some interesting interpretations of it. Welcome to Harris County, Georgia.
Welcome to Harris County, unless you're a minority. Georgia! Warning, Harris County is kinda racist. We say, screw your holiday unless you're a Christian. We say, God bless America, and in God we trust, but not like the Jew God or the Islam God or any of the other ones, just the Christian one. We inappropriately salute our troops and our flag, probably with an arm held out straight at 45 degrees. If this offends you, we will kill you before sundown.
Yeah, be on the other side of the city limits at sundown. I honestly, that 45-degree salute thing is something we used to do.
I know. Yeah. We quit doing it for a good reason.
Really?
Yeah.
What reason was that?
Really? Really?
Clear clearly the advent of Star Wars really just put an end to that salute.
Star Wars
No, not at all.
George
not at all.
Lucas had some weird ideas.
It was universally deemed to be an unmanly gesture. I don't know. No. Nazis. And we've gone full Godwin here.
Yeah, but no, sorry. In the context in which we are discussing, I think institutionalized badness at minorities. I think Godwin's law is out the window at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, honestly, I think the whole Godwin's law thing is a joke and should be thrown out and actually limits conversation because. Well, honestly, okay, if you have somebody who throws the Godwin thing out immediately, okay, you know, just that guy that does that, it's a really nice barometer to know that that person's rhetoric level. Or if you got somebody who doesn't throw out Hitler a lot in real conversations, that kind of reminds me a lot of what like
certain
Hitler.
Contemporary
like, okay,
politicians
now I'm paying attention to you, yeah,
yeah.
When
the LaRouches paint a Hitler mustache on Obama, that's Godwin's law. Trump says that a particular religious demographic needs to wear badges to show everyone what religion they are and maybe should be kept separate from everyone else. That's not Godwin's law. That's actual Nazi stuff.
To avoid that because I wasn't certain if that was apropos, and I'm trying to still stay on money as an atheist. But the more I think about it, it is, you got this presidential candidate who's saying every member of this religion needs to wear a badge or be recognized or something like that. And then I read an article about somebody who wrote a book about what we could learn from the orcas, and not like an obvious, you know, science
like
thing.
The orca whales.
Yeah. And I said, well, he says things that sound like he's fascist, but he's not actually fascist. I'm like, what does it take to be a fascist? A first name that begins with a vowel in a Hugo Boss outfit? What the hell?
To be fair, I believe that Trump is asking for the registration of all Muslims in America and for the investigation and monitoring of all mosques in America. The I believe that everyone should wear badges came from a different political talking head. It has been associated with Trump. I don't know how far off he is from having said that, but
yeah, let's throw the badges out and just go with that national registration thing.
Yeah.
I know, it's bad enough right there. So,
because one clearly has no history of leading to the other.
Exactly.
We'll get trains involved. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
No, this is terrible. And I hate to see this even making the news in my lifetime. Listeners probably don't know this, but I'm kind of like a World War II history buff. I love World War II aircraft and all that kind of stuff.
I learned about this when I bought a few cans of P-51 Porter.
Right.
From a hangman down the street.
And when I see it like actually happening on the media, my jaw just drops and like, you have got to be kidding me. And for a minute, I got what a lot of my humanities majors, contemporaries in history keep saying, that if you don't understand history, you're doomed to repeat it. And just watching these things, I mean, just to be said in the public sphere with any sort of seriousness,
and for
it blows my mind.
Not insignificant number of people to nod their heads along with it. I like what that man's saying.
I've always wondered how it happened the last time. Like, how could people go along with this? And the question has been answered. Like, you're seeing, it's these people, and hey, they're scary because they have guns and they hate you.
Yeah, pretty much. So it always comes back to professional wrestling. I know he's supposed to be a serious candidate, but I was just talking about the political wrestlingization of American politics. Donald Trump has actually been a heel on professional wrestling. He has actually been a bad guy on the WWF.
When it was F.
When it was F.
Not wow. WWE.
He actually worked with Vince McMahon. So is this just a continuation of that? Is he just looking for cheap heat?
No, it's not a continuation. It's a turning point, because if I recall from the stories of Donald Trump being a bad guy character in professional wrestling, he was actually universally booed. He was booed.
Well, the statistics say he's nearly universally booed now.
I don't know. But when you're in it, you walk into an arena and you're booed versus walking into an arena and being cheered and supported and having people wave, you know, your name on signs.
Yeah, that's different. Like, when I was a kid, I booed Rowdy Piper because he was the bad guy and Hogan was the good guy, right? And as a teen and an adult, I have watched movies just because they have Rowdy Piper in them.
Yeah.
And if I met him in person, I'd be like, awesome. Give me your autograph. But if he was voting, or if he was running for a political position in character as 1980s Rowdy Roddy Piper, I've been like, not a chance. And it would be just as frightening. Exactly.
How could it be any worse than what?
It isn't. It isn't. We're on the same page.
What you're saying is that Trump is running for president as his evil wrestling character.
He has gone up on the third rope for a high risk maneuver, and I'm hoping it is not the atomic elbow.
Holy cats. Oh, boy. A Canadian man lost custody of his kids after he tried to cure their autism with homeopathic remedies. The Toronto man has two severely autistic sons who can't speak, feed, or dress themselves. The boy's mother asked for a court order to stop the man from trying to cure the boy's autism rather than managing their condition. The father also gave the younger son a homeopathic treatment for an infected cut instead of antibiotics, allowing the cut to become more infected. The court ruled in the mother's favor, saying that the treatments were not only ineffective, but had negative effects.
Here's what the dad just should have done. Drop all the homeopathic stuff and brought him to the Pope to be kissed. Clearly, they would have been cured then.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Will the Pope cure an infected cut? I mean, brain tumors, there's got to be some point where it's too small. Like, when people are standing in the crowd watching the Pope, do they still get, like, you know, I don't know, itchy? Or is it like the Pope's magical field just takes out all pain and suffering? Like
the papal analgesic,
like,
field?
Does anybody sneeze when they're watching the Pope? Like, and if they do, does it mean they're possessed by demons?
Do you say bless you around the Pope if somebody sneezes?
And the Pope says bless you.
No, that's clearly. Yeah. Okay.
No, if somebody sneezes around the Pope, you blame the Pope.
What did you do?
Well, the Pope opens his speech with bless you, somebody sneezes, and then the Pope is credited for the miracle of traveling faster than light.
If only
the apartment, the papal apartments exist in a closed time like curve, is
that's
what you're
right,
saying.
Yes. Okay. It's kind of a rhombus. Yeah.
If only popes and homeopathy really actually worked.
This is
to
the
do
Tesseract
this kind of stuff.
With frescoes designed by Michelangelo. I could go on. Okay, so the problem here isn't, from my perspective, is not that he was treating kids with homeopathy, except it is. It's that, here's the thing, is if they did the normal stuff and homeopathy, I would care a lot less.
That if he actually got his kids intervention and therapy and worked with occupational therapists and worked with the school system and any of those numbers of things that are available to families with severely disabled children, then it might not be so bad.
Because I might treat my kids with homeopathy, but I would dress up like in a weird mask and be like, and now I will heal you with water. Shush. You know, that sort of thing.
I think one of my favorite things that I saw in terms of parenting and medicine is a parent that has actually been treating his child's belly aches with a medicine that the dad calls placebo. It says, oh, you have a tummy ache here. Have some placebo, and just gives the kids Tums.
Oh man,
you got your knee bump? Oh, yeah, daddy, I need some placebo to make it feel better. And the kid, as soon as he turns like 9 or something, it's going to be an awesome reckoning with his father.
For like a decade, he's going to hate his dad. And then for the rest of his life, he's going to be like, that was awesome.
Man. Santa Claus, Jesus, medicine, it's all coming to a head. Yep. It's just, wow.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty ingenious.
Well, this is the system working, as far as I'm concerned. Thank you, Canada. Seem to say that a lot on this show.
Yeah.
But that's the way to go. But like I said, you know, it's I think homeopathy is ultimately destructive because everybody's offering homeopathy as a replacement for actual functional medicine.
Mm-hmm. And it costs a lot more than what it actually is.
Right. If you were just drinking water and going, this is going to make me better, I'd be like, okay.
I think one thing that's important to acknowledge that could lead a parent to look for things like homeopathy to treat autism is that there's very, very few medical treatments that consistently treat and improve the condition of someone with autism. It can be hit or miss. It can be work for one kid, but not work for another kid. And so I can only, you know, try to dream of putting myself in the shoes of a parent with two severely disabled children and looking at the desperation that one might use or one might, you know, be motivated to use something like homeopathy. The thing is that homeopathy is basically really, really, really proven to have no effect, as opposed to things like occupational therapy intervention that are proven to have, or that are suggested to have, some positive effect on a majority of autistic children.
When you say it that way, sounds terrifying.
I may get booed for this one, but I think my final word on this topic is that there is very strong evidence that particular cognitive disorders are hereditary.
You may get booed on this one.
I may get booed on that one.
Oh, I see where you're going with that.
But, you know, maybe this father is not functioning at a high enough level where he's able to reason through what is and isn't science, what may or may not harm the children.
That doesn't divest him of the responsibility for taking care of his children, and that's the
problem.
Doesn't.
Here.
Yeah, it doesn't. Is you know, okay, maybe he needs some care too. I'm
right.
Quite willing to go with
it. And you cannot blame a person for needing care or requiring care. Anyway.
No, the thing is, I think I'm with you on this one. Is I don't really, 9 times out of 10, I don't really care about blame. Blame's boring. What I'm more concerned about with is responsibility and how to fix it. And the fix here was to do exactly this, was to take his kids away from him and say, you are no longer legally responsible for these children, which is what the change of custody is all about. It's not saying he's a terrible human being.
No.
Now, in society, that's how we interpret
it. That's how we interpret it.
But that's what it's saying, is that, okay, you're not legally responsible for these kids. And in what you're saying is that there might be a good reason for him to not be legally responsible for his kids, which I think is a perfectly reasonable thing to say.
He may not be capable of responsible care.
Yes.
On that, I have the privilege of knowing personally two parents who separately, you know, not related to one another, who parent children who have some degree of autism. And both those parents also have recognized that they themselves fall on the autism spectrum and have looked at, I experience some difficulties interacting with the world because of my particular disorder. My children experience more severe difficulties, and I'm going to have some checks and balances against what I believe and what I'm interpreting, because I know that I fall victim to the same kinds of thinking patterns and the same kind of deficits. And
but that level of self-awareness is a very rare thing.
It is. I think that those two parents work particularly hard in what I've seen to compensate for the difficulties that they experience themselves. One person in particular had dedicated themselves so much to it that they are themselves an educator of children that experience cognitive and developmental disorders or disabilities. Because they said, look, this is something that is very difficult for most people to understand, and I need to systematically understand what are the best kinds of interventions. So, yes, it is certain cognitive disorders and to some degree autism has shown to have some kind of hereditary or genetic link. That doesn't mean that necessarily everyone who has an autistic kid themselves is autistic, and not everyone who does fall on the spectrum that has a kid is incapable of being a parent.
No, but he is right. For some mental disorders, there is a boy, howdy, do I know this? There is a genetic component.
All right, now you're doing it. You don't get to yell at us anymore.
What? I don't get to yell at what?
Picking on yourself. That's
No. I'm not picking on myself. It's not picking on yourself. You just recognize something's up. Or is it? I don't know. I'm bad at this.
Fine line, gradient, spectrum.
Fair enough.
Well, best of luck to these two particular children, and well done, Canada, as you said, if I may reiterate.
Agreed.
Here's hoping, if that dad needs help, here's hoping he gets it, I guess. You know, okay, real talk. I want one of those t-shirts.
You want a Harris County t-shirt?
I do.
But then we're going to have to pay the Zazzle store or the Cafe Press store or whatever that we're going to do.
I won't accept it if it...
If it has been obtained legally.
I didn't want to put it that way.
If it monetarily benefited the Harris County Sheriff.
I want to acquire one in a way that undermines the position of this sheriff.
I think that means that we would actually have to go there and wear it in his town. Instead, do the opposite. If you don't like it, leave. Well, if you don't like it, arrive. Arrive at our town.
I think this is stupid. Try and make me go. I don't know. Seriously, I think this this shirt would be an excellent addition to my propaganda collection.
I think it would too.
Agreed. Yeah,
put it up there, tack it on the wall between the Welcome to Vacation Bible School and the Santorum for President posters.
But this comes up. This comes back to the my rule set for this propaganda collection is I've got some stuff from North Korea. I've got some stuff from I've got some Left Behind related material. I've got a robotic asparagus or whatever the heck that is. You know what
Veggie Tales, the broccoli guy.
Yeah. It sings a little song. It's cute.
Well, I want it to die.
it does make your urine smell.
Presumably you don't eat the Veggie Tales thing.
Blow bug dolls off market. That's what it reminded me of.
No, it's because it's an asparagus. It's a little asparagus doll.
Okay. It is an asparagus, right?
It is an asparagus, okay. Yes.
Not like an okra or something.
I do not believe so. Okra would be way slimier. Yeah.
Also more southern, which is why I was wondering.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
So what's the rule set for your propaganda collection, Sam?
The people who produce the propaganda cannot benefit from my purchase. So, which is why, thanks to Mike and his working at a bookstore, I now have an extensive original Scientology media collection. Not a dime of that went to the Church of Scientology. All my posters and all that stuff. Yeah, nobody I dislike actually got a dime of that money. I don't know how to make this happen because this is so timely and it's a single source. So I gotta wait for it to become rare and then buy it, which kind of obviates the point as far as I'm concerned. Or ask someone to acquire it via extra legal means. I don't know.
All right, so we're crossing into the whole freedom of speech issue here. What is the charge against you for inciting someone to steal propaganda from a sheriff?
Oh, that's straight up theft. That's like a felony. Yeah,
but if you just kind of say, like, I wish I had a t-shirt like that, and I won't accept it by legal means.
No, I would accept it by legal means if him receiving the money somehow undermined his point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not. For me, it's not necessarily monetary profit, although this is definitely for monetary profit, but I would like it, like, if he made $5 off of me, but as a result lost 500, that would be, it's like the people who say, I won't go to, Sylvia Brown shows because that's just giving her money. But if you go there for the right reasons and you record it and you talk to people and you show them what the heck Sylvia Brown is doing and you ultimately use that to undermine what Sylvia Brown is doing and as a result, several people no longer believe in her and don't go to her shows, to me, that's a valuable investment. That's money well spent. That's worth doing. And so if buying a t-shirt from this guy could somehow lead to undermining his point and hurting his position, I would totally buy a t-shirt straight from him, but how the hell?
Got to figure out how. Yeah. All right, so we put the t-shirt on an Islamic ostrich, and have the ostrich make out with a llama or something in front of the sign, also wearing a t-shirt. So we're crossing species, and maybe they're both male. And this is getting complicated.
What?
I'm just trying.
What website were you hanging out on?
I'm trying to imagine all the lines that you could cross in a picture in front of the billboard wearing the t-shirts to make it just as.
You'd have a small child saluting them as well.
Right. A small child saluting them, maybe Rimmer style with a flourish.
Yeah.
And,
I was thinking a particular 45 degree angle, and I was trying to goad Becky into doing it because that would be hilarious.
We could get like a UFO in there. Oh, and Michael Moore. Have him standing there holding a camera or something.
No, he's officiating their wedding.
He's officiating their wedding. Perfect.
Between an ostrich and a kid?
No, an ostrich and the llama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Get yourself straight, Sam. Come on.
Hey, now.
One of them could be dressed like a wizard, but with the t-shirt. The other one's maybe dressed like, I don't know, a vampire or something. What other stuff is?
Are they singing God Bless America at the same time?
Are they sparkly?
Yeah, but they're singing it in Aramaic.
Okay. And Spanish.
And Spanish, right. Spanish is super offensive to this, probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we talk about Peggy's challenge, but we've been moving the servers this week, so we lost some mail, so I don't know who.
Yeah, we do have some challengers, Peggy, that says, hey, keep secular voices on the airways. We are in the middle of our server moves. We're in the middle of transitions of broadcasts and things like that. But, you know, we do always appreciate our contributors helping with all of that production costs.
Yep.
Of which we are accumulating some.
Yep, listen to me be totally erudite.
Yes.
So anything else? I'm going to call it here.
I think that we can call it here. Yeah. I think we've presented a few challenges to our listeners. One,
I want
please,
the t-shirt.
Please make a video. Two, please do a Star Wars video, a t-shirt, and then maybe establish this wedding between the ostrich and the llama in Harris County, Georgia.
I was worried about this one not going on the air, but given that we ended it with, hey guys, steal something for me, I think, right. Yeah.
Yep.
I think I'm okay. Who was that guy who said take the money from your parents' wallet and said it to me?
I am totally baffled by whatever you're referring to, Sam.
Was it Frank Zappa?
Yes, but he was referencing something else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some guy who did a kid show actually got in trouble for as kind only serious.
Uh-huh.
Join my fan club. If you don't have any money, take it from your parents' wallet. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Well, children, please don't take it from your parents' wallet. Please be over 18 in order to contribute to us.
No,
so
that's
take
why
it from
you
your spouse's wallet.
Is because this guy. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for today. I would do a better job if. Yeah. There we go. Let's start over. That's all the time we've got for today. I'd like to thank Dave Roulette, my co-host for Becky Friedman, and Jeremy. Wait, what?
Not Jeremy Whitten.
Do better a job on copy and pasting. You're not Jeremy.
I'm not.
Dan, what happened?
Not at all.
My name is Sam Mulvey. I'd like to thank Chris Coleman, Phil Whitfield, and Steve Siemens. Tweet us at askanatheist.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 844-753-7842. Email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. We were preempted by women's basketball, was it this week?
Yes, UW Husky women.
Go Huskies.
Sorry, women Huskies.
That wasn't creepy.